Hey guys, it's me, Peter Alvich. I am here with Tony Quest and Team Beneath the Surface, episode 21. I'm so happy to be here with you. You have an awesome guest for us today. Why don't you introduce them and let's get rolling.
Oh, thank you, Peter. You know, this has been quite an experience working with you, and I can't believe that we're actually kind of celebrating a new year together, as we've been doing this for a little while, and I feel that I know that you've really captured a lot of attention to this show, Seeing Beneath the Surface. And so we try to find really provocative subjects and authors and all kinds of interesting guests, and we have very interesting conversations. So today, tonight, or whenever you're listening, we have a wonderful guest. His name is Tad Brunton. He's essentially a ghostwriter, and he has written a lot of books, but most recently, under other people's names, I'll say, this particular book that he's written recently, which is, I think, somewhat timely in this day and age, at the juncture we're at in our society in general, he wrote a book called The Marijuana Chronicles, and it talks about the benefits and uses of cannabis for the medical community, for wellness. And it's not necessarily about getting high on marijuana. It's about, I'd say, it's about getting healthy with cannabis in different forms. So, Tad, tell us what prompted you to write this book.
Well, Tony, thanks for the great introduction and the compliments. I appreciate that very much. I hope you didn't have your fingers crossed. But
no, it would be my pleasure. I could go on and on about how great you are, Tad. All right?
Well,
that's my forte, about how great Tad is.
To preface that, or to build on that, Tony and I helped Tony a little bit with her book, and she gave me credit, but I was basically the sounding board for that. She's a great writer. So,
thank you.
I enjoyed meeting and getting to know Tony, even though we only talked once on the phone, and we did all the work via email, and it was really a marvelous experience. And I count Tony Quest as one of my great friends and a person who truly enriched my life. Okay. And
The feeling is mutual. The feeling is mutual, and this is our second conversation, believe it or not, since 2014. Wow.
Well, what got me interested in writing this book on cannabis, first of all, I'm a ghostwriter, as you said, and so that means basically I will write anything for anybody, and they don't have to use my name on the piece, and which means I write things on almost any topic you can imagine, and I've written several thousand articles and over 20 books as a ghostwriter. So, but I did write articles for two marijuana dispensaries, one in, I think, Washington State and the other in Phoenix, Arizona. So that got me interested in the whole idea and concept of marijuana as something other than just being used to get high on. And also, I lived up in Northern California for a year, and I saw everybody seems to grow it up there and sell it, and they call it medicine up there. But anyway,
it is, but
some people fudged on it a little bit. Anyway.
So in your book, like through like the research and the findings that you found out, like what is something like unique you would say that a lot of people don't know about that should know, because like obviously like you said, a lot of the misconceptions out there are that, you know, it's a drug and it's meant to just get high, and you know, all these other misconceptions. Like what is something that you found that people should know that's been kind of, you know, so to speak, led to the side sideline?
Good question. Well, here's one thing that always sticks in my mind out of all the things I've read and looked up and researched. Dr. Sanjay Gupta, who works at CNN, you've probably heard of him.
Yeah.
Famous guy. He was against the legalization of medical marijuana until he did several documentaries I think the first one was called Weed, W-E-E-D.
Yeah.
And after that, he came out and he said, I am here to apologize. We have been terribly and systematically misled for nearly 70 years in the United States, and I apologize for my own role in that. He was talking about how he had condemned the legalization of pot and how the U.S. since 1937 has labeled cannabis the forbidden fruit and doled out long prison sentences, et cetera, to people who use it. So he realized that there are some real medical benefits to using medical marijuana, and especially, okay, let me break this down for you briefly, and I don't want to go into all the technical stuff, but let's mention cannabinoids. There are like, depending on what research you read, there's from 80 to 100 cannabinoids in marijuana, in medical marijuana. Cannabis, basically, and those are just elements that that can help certain illnesses out. For instance, Sanjay Gupta's mind was turned 180 degrees when he saw the results of a young girl who was having over 300 epileptic seizures every week be reduced to like only 2 a month, something like that. Now my numbers may be wrong, but it was 300 seizures every week. I'm just reading my notes now. And she did that by using cannabidiol. And that's a am I being clear or am I being too technical here?
No, I think it's okay.
Okay.
It's kind of like a carotenoid. No, maybe there's, what is it? They use the same oid thing at the end as a suffix for a lot of things that are somewhat natural, when they put it in a form that can be administered. Now, that's
wonderful.
Is that correct?
I believe so. So, anyway, so she started using, her parents were desperate. She was dying. She was like under 10 years old, I believe. She wasn't eating anymore. She wasn't walking. She was having all these horrible grand mal seizures. And the parents went to Colorado to see the Stanley brothers, who were manufacturing CBD. They got some from them, brought it back to the girl, administered a few drops. The seizures ended immediately, abruptly.
Wow. And that's amazing.
They checked every hour. No seizure. And so now she's down, I'm reading the rest of it, I know, to 2 or 3 a month. So it's just like a miracle drug, you know. So it's like,
you know,
for Jeff Sessions. Oh, go ahead. We can talk about him later.
It's okay. I just had an interesting thought, if you know this, is two things. Is the first thing is for like medical uses, is it better to have it kind of more in a smoking kind of instance, or is it better to have it kind of more in a liquid? And the second question is like when they use kind of a liquid, is it like, does it go throughout the body faster to like certain parts? For instance, like when having seizures, it would spread out through the body and be able to calm and regulate things a lot more better throughout the system.
Yeah, she didn't smoke it. They had it in tincture form, in liquid form. So they gave her a few drops, and it was just amazing. So, you know, I mean, some people don't like to smoke, and it hurts their lungs, and it's very sensitive to that. So you can get medical marijuana or regular marijuana in tincture form, you know, with the full blast of the high you want, or with hardly any high you want once they start refining it.
I have a student who I teach privately. I shared this, I think, with Peter. I definitely shared it with you, Ted. And she has epilepsy, and she's in a young adult. I think she's in her late 20s. And she has horrible seizures, very debilitating in terms of exhausted seizures exhaust her. And when her parents put her on medical marijuana, and I believe she's given it in some kind of an infusion, you know, it cut the seizures back quite a bit. I also work occasionally with elder people in elder community. And there are some people within this community, it's not a healthcare facility, it's actually a residence, but I was given, I've been told by some of the elders that they're given medical marijuana to ward off the symptoms of Alzheimer's disease.
Wow.
So So what did you learn about that in
I mean, they're doing research on, no, first of all, let me clarify that. There can't be too much research done on marijuana in this country because it's illegal. So there are only a few places that have authorization from the federal government to do research.
Right.
And so most of the research now is done in Israel. And they're finding out tons of stuff. But yeah, what I found out about Alzheimer's is that it slows the process, the progress of protein deposits in the brain. So it has some effect, but it's a slow process of exploration for those scientists and the researchers.
Right.
But it is doing something.
I can imagine the frustration in not being able to do all the research.
Yeah, crazy. And that's why I admire the Stanley brothers. I hate to keep coming back to those guys, but they're like heroes in the medical marijuana world. And, you know, they're actually helping people out. But I found that, for chronic pain, I can tell you, most of the evidence is anecdotal, as mine will be. It's like a friend of mine made me a small vial of a tincture. And I thought he took most of the THC out, the tetrahydrocannabinol, which produces the psychoactive high. But he left that in. But anyway, I had horrible back pain. I had surgery a few years ago, and I still wake up in great pain. But as soon as I drank a little bit of that, the pain went away, like, within minutes. It was just amazing. And I don't smoke marijuana. I have smoked marijuana, obviously. But I don't really like the high. But I like the painkiller effect. The results of that. So I find it very, very effective. Now, if they can, and my pain is starting to go away now for some reason. I think it's because I bought a new bed. But so I may try CBD, cannabidiol, at some point for pain. Although they say THC, tetrahydrocannabinol, is more of a painkiller than CBD.
Oh, that's interesting to know. Can they put it in a form that's topical?
That's my understanding, and let's see. I think I have something on topicals here. No, I don't have anything in my notes right here. But yes, I have read where there are topicals, and how effective it is right now, I don't know.
There's a lot
but
a lot of stuff is being sold on the internet. I shouldn't say a lot, but there are a couple of companies that are selling stuff on the internet. I did notice a topical, and I'm saying, can that really work, a topical? You know, and they're saying that has CBD oils in it.
Yeah.
And you could use it, like, just say, to rub on a pain that you might have, you know, in your back or wherever.
I think it's so affordable now, well, depending on who you talk to, you know. I mean, some people don't have enough money to buy painkillers or any kind of medical marijuana to chill their pain. But it's about experimentation and what works on your body too, you know.
Right.
Every body is different. So
something that's very important to me is I come from a family where I've had like blindness, visual impairment passed down the generations, unfortunately. And one of the things that I have, as well as a few people in my family have, is glaucoma. And I, to be fair about it, I've heard about, the effect and that they could be positive towards glaucoma. But what have you found kind of like why that happens, or like what happens in that process by chance?
Yeah, glaucoma has been, the studies have been very successful. What it does is it reduces the eye pressure, and it could also lower the blood pressure, but that could harm the optic nerve. So it could have two effects. So you have to kind of watch out with that. But they have found that it does lower the eye pressure. So apparently it can decrease the pain, and whether it's effective on the sight or not, I'm not sure. But once again, it does have some effect.
Yeah, the interesting thing to kind of answer your question is, like, when the pressure of your eye is lowered in some cases, particularly mine, because I have a condition called nystagmus. And basically, it's kind of like overactiveness of the eye, sort of like move around at times. When there's actually more pressure in the eye, or I happen to have more energy, it tends to move around a little bit more. So being more calmer or more relaxed will kind of relax the eye. But with this condition or without this condition, having higher eye pressure will actually kind of change or distort your vision. Because of the muscles in your eye, but also, you know, the pressure kind of building up in different areas, depending on the person that you are. So I can definitely say on that fact that if you have a more relaxed eye or if you're like prone to high blood or a high eye pressure or blood pressure provokes your high eye pressure, it could definitely change your vision in some ways temporarily. I'll say that because I don't want anybody to freak out and think that's permanent.
Yeah.
That's very interesting. I mean, really interesting. But now let's make a point here. I want to make a point here is, no, I'm not suggesting that anyone use marijuana for any medical reason or any recreational reason or anything else. All I'm doing, in other words, I don't want to say, it'll work on this, it'll work on that. I don't know. All I do is read what's out there, you know, all the studies and things like that. But I want to be careful to let people know that they need to make the decision. They need to read. They need to find out what's good for them. And so I'm not promoting the use of marijuana at all.
Yeah, this is our disclaimer here. We're having a disclaimer here, which I think is important. Thank you, Pat, for that.
Yeah, you know, and that's who we are, you know, particularly on this show is we're educators, you know, we're educators and we're also learners. And, you know, and the major thing is that, you know, there are some things that we can't speak on, some things we can't. And this is one thing, you know, we're those people that are just giving you some information, you know, some things that have been found out, but ultimately making the choices or like, so to speak, putting an opinion behind it is, you know, totally up to the public or up to the personal opinions of those who happen to be viewing the show. But, you know, we're just, like I said, you know, the research, I bet, is because you said it was difficult in the States, you know, there's a lot of red tape. So I, you know, when finding some of this out and kind of finding it from like other countries and other people, it's very interesting, not in the sense of like, you know, well, this is a great drug, you know, because, you know, it messes with your mind or anything like that. It's interesting because of what its potential could be in a lot of different aspects. My thought with kind of like your research, because I know that it must have been tough, you know, you've hit a lot of brick roads and a lot of, you know, red tape. Like, what is something that you wanted to kind of go into for your book but didn't quite have a chance because of either the red tape or just because there wasn't enough sufficient information to kind of build a thought or of an educational process?
Well, that's a good question. But this is volume one. Volume 2 will be coming out in about 6 months. So there's plenty of stories. You know, there's so much to write on as far as marijuana goes and medical marijuana and the benefits. And a lot of the research is still developing and new information on different cannabinoids is coming out, you know, not every day, but it's coming out more frequently than it was. So, and I like that Israel is really unafraid, you know, to check things out. How does this work? What can it do for this? You know, it's just, I'm glad that they're doing it, and I'm glad that they're our friends and share information.
Yeah. I think some people are just, I think there might be some people, maybe in government or whatever, that are still living in the era of, I think of a movie, Reefer Madness, you know? And they're kind of living in that. And because, I don't know, I think there's a bias about it. Because
look at Jeff Sessions. I mean, I'm sure he's a wonderful guy, but it's like, what did he say? He said, good people don't smoke marijuana. Well, I take umbrage to that. And
I must be not, I'm not a good person then in his view.
There were a lot of good people with marijuana. And he also said something to the effect that he used to think the KKK was all right until they found out they smoked marijuana. Where are his values? You know, what is his value system all about? I don't get it.
You know, I want to say, speaking to that as far as the benefits of it, I know, Peter, you said something about nystagmus, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now I'm familiar with that. As someone that's diagnosed with multiple sclerosis, one of the more common problems I have is that the nystagmus, when you get a flare-up of MS, it generally happens in my eye, and the nystagmus is a thing. Very uncomfortable. You know,
I'm not sure I know what that is. What is that? That word?
It means for me how it manifests is that my eye, there's some kind of a vibration that happens in my eye where it's kind of moving from side to side at a certain pace.
You know, gotcha.
Certain, you know?
Like a
and
tremor.
And it's a tremor in my eye. And it's the optic nerve that's affected. And it can be painful because the optic nerve is inflamed.
Well,
medical marijuana, some people have said anecdotally, and there was a small study involving like 20 patients.
Mm-hmm.
They said it prevented muscle spasms, pain, and stiffness, and tremors.
It does help muscle spasms. I'm not promoting that, but it could be,
you know, if you're smoking marijuana, you might as well watch and see what it does to your body. Or if you're inhaling it or imbibing in some way. But it also impairs your memory, it says, too, you know.
Short-term memory. But I'm wondering, but Peter, when you have you used it for symptoms with your condition?
I've never had experience with it. We have considered talking to my doctors about it at one point. But my glaucoma is such at a borderline right now that it's okay as it is. I don't need to worry about that at this point. But thinking about that, that there's uses of it out there. I have to be honest. I am the guy that's kind of torn in between, to be honest, because at one point I can see a lot of uses, but at the other, there's a lot of there's a lot of questions, like if we were to make it available. And this is besides, just the medicinal or medical, if we were to make it more so available, I would be afraid of, access of basically creating basically government free business. There we go. Sorry, I'm losing my train of thought. Basically, I'm afraid of having like illegal businesses created based upon using this, and then the ability of like not only people making money off of making the high kind of people, but also I think that once we make it to a certain point where it's extremely available to the public, I think that instead of having a medical or a recreational, I think it'll get blurred to a point where, who's benefiting and, how is it being controlled and things like that. Is it, like I said, I'm in between, to be honest, I don't know much about cannabis or marijuana, but I'm always open to learning, and that's what we're here for.
I'm sure that if you have glaucoma, there are pills that I think, I'm pretty sure, because I know people with glaucoma, and they have pills that they take for it that are cannabis-based.
However,
some people say the pills are better than cannabis, by the way.
The pills are better,
Some people say that, they're better than cannabis.
Yep.
More measured, and the dosage is very controlled.
Exactly.
Yeah. However, there are side effects to this. I can't quite remember right off the hand what they were, but they said that if you're considering on treatment, you always want to do the drops first. And if you're like me, that's completely I am completely not able to take glaucoma drops. I'm completely resistant to them. If I take them, I have pain and burning and all this other stuff.
Oh wow!
So if you happen to get to that point, then it might be considering on taking the pills. But they always say do the drops first. If the drops don't work, then the pills are the last resort, because there's other types of chemical reactions and functions in your body that if you're taking it for like a long period of time, it could actually inhibit some of the, you know, issues in your body. It's just kind of a thought. I was introduced to this a little while ago. So I would definitely recommend you guys, if you're looking for more information on this, definitely ask your doctor about it, you know.
Definitely.
I'm wondering if our medical doctors have as much information about it as we do. And that's what also, I'm wondering if they have the information. Because there was a time, because I'm a little older, and so I know that there was a time when doctors didn't even understand the benefits of vitamins. I can remember talking to my doctor about, I saw a bunch of doctors, but there were a couple of doctors I talked about B vitamins and, for multiple sclerosis. And they knew that it was good for the nerves, you know, the nervous system, but they didn't understand how significant it was to MS. I had one doctor that, you know, who I respect very much, but it was hard to convince him that I should be taking D3. I did my own research, you know, and so they're sort of like bound to this protocol of research, you know, and so they might not even know as much about it as everybody else.
They're programmed also, well, they're taught, and, you know, to go by the book, basically. And can you ever break out of that?
I can definitely agree to that, because at the time that I was taking the drops that I needed, we were actually asking about, you know, the pill form of cannabis tea that would help. At the time, they actually didn't believe that I had glaucoma, because they couldn't see it with my physical eye. My custom anatomy and my eye is actually so different. I had to go to the University of Minnesota to find this out. And the problem being is that with the couple of the conditions I had, you know, that's what made me completely, you know, it was just a brick wall to all drops, you know. I was thinking, you know, kind of like writing this, like how what would be the process of kind of like compiling like research like this? Like, what would be like a mindset, so to speak, besides kind of looking at it at a curiosity standpoint, kind of an educational standpoint? What would be your process?
Well, my mindset was pretty casual, basically, because I'm always writing something, and so I might just write a small article or a small 300 or 400 word piece on CBD, cannabidiol, you know, and then I might go to something else. So I might look at the articles I wrote for those dispensaries and change those a bit, and, you know, or enhance them. So I had a book in mind at a certain point, so that's when I started adding and enhancing different articles that either were there or I wrote new ones. But, you know, people don't have to do the research. They can just buy this book now, so, which is nice. It's already compiled. And volume 2 will be coming out in 6 months.
I'll
tell you how to get this book. No, I'm just kidding.
You say volume 2. Is there a difference between volume 1 and volume 2? Is it like a different theme, or is it kind of like an ongoing
It'll be the same theme. I think there are 50 chapters in, short chapters. In volume 1, and I believe there are going to be 30 to 45 or so chapters in volume two. And then that'll be it. That'll be the, I'll be done with this subject.
Well, tell, us, okay. Tell us how our audience can actually get your book, Pat. Where can they find your book? Volume one.
That's a good question. That's a darn good question. Okay. Just on Amazon or CreateSpace, type in T period. Brunson, B-R-U-N-T-O-N, that's my name, and my book will pop right up.
There you go.
And they can purchase it right on Amazon or CreateSpace. They can buy the Kindle version on Amazon and the paperback on CreateSpace.
Mm-hmm. And how could, if someone would says is listening and they say, wow, ghostwriter, you know, I'm not a good writer, maybe I could get him to ghostwrite my story. Mm-hmm. You know, how can they find you?
Wow, that's a great question. Thank you, Tony. Pat Brunson, PatBrunson@gmail.com. That's
there
my
you
email.
Go. Yeah, Pat. That's T-A-D. That's T-A-D. That's T like Thomas, just in case it sounds different. Brunson.
That's correct. Thank you.
Yeah.
PatBrunson@gmail.com.
Yeah. And I think that I think it's wonderful that you can switch gears so much as a writer. You know, do you find that someone will approach you to write something and then it's not really resonating, you know,
yeah,
for whatever reason, or maybe it's not a good book and you know it, or it's not a good, not an interesting topic. Has that ever happened?
That has happened. I've had two that that's happened. It's interesting, you know, because in the back of my mind, I can kind of sense that, you know, I shouldn't be doing this.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm going to be able to do this one. I'm not that interested. I'm not crazy about it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then ultimately, it just falls apart somewhere down the line.
There you go. So it takes care of itself.
But, you know, actually, after those two, I've learned a lot. Like, somebody emailed me today. They said, can you write fiction and this and that? And I said, well, you know, I've written a few fiction books, but I would need to actually be passionate about it before I think about it. And so that's where I am now. I'm going to turn them away if I don't think I can do it or want to stick with it.
Right. I think that we've done, Peter and I have done that. I think we did that with one guest. I think. I won't say who it is.
Yeah,
they were supposed to be on the show and something happened and they weren't on the show. I don't remember exactly, but and then our inclination was not to have them, not to ask them back.
Wow.
You know?
Yeah, it's a punctuality thing, you know? I mean, I figure if you're not here, you know, I generally give people, you know, about 2 to 5 minutes and, you know, gotta keep rolling, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
I was actually curious because this is something I've always thought about doing, but I personally, I've been crazy busy with all sorts of different things, but I really want to break down and start trying to figure out how to do it. Is I've always
wanted
to write. Say again.
To do what?
Well, how to do right? I wasn't sure what you were going for. Got it.
So what I've been wanting to do is be able to kind of create a story surrounding like my life, blindness, visual impairment, things like that. And I'm just kind of curious from your standpoint, like if someone approaches you and says, you know, I want to create a book about my story, like what would be the process of kind of like starting the ball rolling, like from a writer's standpoint of kind of like making a coherent story or thinking about what would be best to start with?
Exactly. Well, I would find out, my goal would be to find out what you really want to say. And how much information you want to give out there, and what you really are looking to communicate. And then, as Tony said earlier in the show, I would try to find your voice as far as when I write something, does it sound like you or not, you know, that kind of thing. And then I would talk to you as much as possible. I wouldn't take too much of your time, but we would talk and I would give you questions and try and find out. What I'm really trying to say is I think there's more to it than just the surface. In other words, what you think you want to say. I think you really want to say much, much more than what you think you want to say. So I would try to dig that out of you and find out who you are and how you feel about everything and what are your feelings. Feelings are so important because we're so human, you know. And Tony's book is beautiful, you know, because my heart just went out to her and her story and the little girl in Tony, you know. It's like I fell in love with that little girl and she just grew into a beautiful woman. So,
thank you.
So I would try and find out who you are, Peter, and without being like a cop or detective, it would be a very smooth, very painless effort. And that's what I would.
I'll say that Tad, in the process when I was writing my book with Tad, and I was writing and sending him a lot of information about myself, but Tad is a very good interviewer. And so he knew what questions to ask me in the beginning to get me started, because I needed someone to tell the story to. And so Tad was very good at asking me questions. You know, we did this all through email, and I was very, and also giving me a reaction to what I was writing, you know?
Well, I learned a lot from you, Tony. It's like I witnessed a great deal of patience with you, genuine kindness, and I saw that you're totally full of compassion and caring for people. And so, Peter, those are the kind of things I would look for, you know, what human qualities you possess and how you live your life, and without being too nosy. I mean, you can kind of sense a person's being, you know, when you talk to them a little while.
Right.
So, people are interesting, let's face it. That's all I'm coming from.
Just finding your point of view, and Peter's got a very unique story, you know? And it's just beginning because he's a young man, you know? And his story is very, very unique. And how he actually perseveres in spite of his visual impairment. To me, that's like the story, and you want to find it. I have visual impairment, but he is like very, very, I'll say exquisite. Is the word I want to use, visual impairment, but yet he's able to supersede it and doing what is opposite of what people would think he would do and be a visual artist. And so that's a story.
That's amazing.
That's a story.
And just one of those things I bet you can relate with writing, you know, different people's stories, that you just, it becomes, you know, hardwired second nature, just becomes life to you. You know, if you want to do something, you're going to go and do it. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Well, you have drive. You are a driven guy, which is interesting.
Driven.
This is more than a lot of the people have.
Yeah, it's inspiring. You know, and I always kind of wish that people. Well, I don't wish things. You know, I'm not really a wisher. You know. I'm not a wisher. I wish for things. You know, I wish I had $1 million. No, I'm like, go get $1 million. That's my way. But no, I think that when you find a story like Peter's, that's like so inspiring. It's no wonder that half the planet is following him on Twitter. You know, because this is very inspiring.
I appreciate it, you know, because I mean, a lot of things, like, you know, like a lot of things I do, like I do video editing and do, like, you know, for my own videos for like YouTube, and people are like, you know, how do you edit but you can't do what you're editing? And I'm just like, well, you just kind of make a system, so to speak, you know.
I know. It's unheard of. It's amazing. Like I always say on the show, is I sit here and yak on, and then Peter puts it together, you know?
Yeah.
And it's a visual piece.
It's crazy. But I love it. I love that. You stepped out of the envelope completely.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, because the fantastic thing is, and this is really how our audience is growing for the show, is right now, I mean, we have, like, Seeing Beneath the Surface. We have a Facebook page, we have a Twitter, and we have a YouTube. But mm-hmm. I'm also putting it on my network, which is, you know, 90-plus networks with over 100,000 followers. And I really started making this in just, you know, a year ago. And that's why when I have, like, people like you, people like other guests, you know, great people to educate, motivate, and inspire people about many different things, you know, it's just something that I love to do. And but, like, thinking story-wise, like, I've been thinking for a long time to create, you know, my story. I've always done writings and things like on Facebook mm-hmm. and social media, but I've never really put together a book for, like, coherency's sake.
Well, you know, a little bit at a time, and you'll have a book in a month or two.
Yeah, it doesn't take forever, you know.
Right.
Yeah, and the reason why I'm thinking of this is because I'm actually right now I'm approaching a really large point in my life for something that is definitely a big achievement for me. I can't quite say too much yet, so this will be an ongoing announcement for our viewers, but it's definitely something I'm thinking about is creating a story and creating a book so that others can enjoy it. But yeah, you know, there's just something about, like you said, finding your voice and finding what you're interested in writing about and running with it.
Yeah. Well, that's perfectly summarized. Yeah, that's it mm-hmm. in a nutshell.
Yeah.
I think people are really curious about you, Peter, and how you actually put together all of these shows that you do. And then you have a real interesting visual component to it. And it's just that it's that wonderful irony of Peter Elvidge, you know? You have a visual component to everything that you do.
You know, and I appreciate it. But the one thing is that, you know, like, because this is one thing that, like, I get, like, taught, you know, it's like, you know, oh, my gosh, you know, you did this and you're, you know, and you have no sight or things like that. And I'm just sitting here in my head and I'm like, I'm thinking not, like, about myself, but I always think about others, like, you could do this, too. I know that, like, if you figured out, like, take the time or, you know, figured out how to get over that hill or whatever it is, you know what I mean? Like, so many people say they can't video edit or, you know, like, they don't know what video editing is.
Right.
Or audio editing. And, you know, it's creating that giant monster of a shadow of yourself that you feel like you can't get over. But once you start kind of, like, trying to make it smaller and, you know, asking more questions and, you know, just trying to figure it out, you know. And I bet that was most definitely something that you can relate to, Todd, because when you started writing, I bet it probably seemed like a giant monster at first, but then kind of started getting into it, started getting your flow, and it probably started getting smaller and smaller. Now it's just like second nature, right?
Yeah, well, that's really a good observation. It was difficult each time I start an article or a book. It's very difficult, and then I realize that I'm doing it faster and faster, the process writing faster and faster. And I think it's because I wrote so many hundreds and several thousand articles, it was like great practice, you know? Mm-hmm. Writing these short articles for people and then get $10 or whatever, you know, that kind of thing. And I kept doing it. And then all of a sudden I realized, oh my God, I can whip these things out like they're nothing. But books are different because you have to really find the voice, like I said, and do some research and that sort of thing. But the articles are pretty easy now.
They're straightforward. Mm-hmm. And I think there's also that challenge to make it interesting to other people.
Yeah, good point.
You know,
good.
You don't want to bore anyone. You know, I know that I know that when I was working with you, Tatum, on my book, I was sort of hard-pressed on, like, how much am I going to tell? And I just sort of set some boundaries for myself, being a memoir, you know. Uh-huh. You need to be careful. I have to be careful of not offending anyone. You know, there was only one thing I might have put in there that I kind of regret putting it in, but I'm over it because it was true.
Yes, yes.
You know, it's not like it was a lie. You know, it's really interesting to be a writer like the way the kind of writer that you are, Tad, where you're bouncing from subject to subject. You know, and often dealing with people's personal lives.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, that is kind of interesting.
You know, one of my many mentors that I've had throughout the years, he always told me, you know, that to think of one word that always, like, encompasses what you're doing. And if you can figure out this one word, like, everything else will follow. And that's one of, you know, the major things that he still teaches today. And I definitely remember that. That's why my one word has always been perseverance, so I created the Perseverance Network as a result. But I'm curious, like, what would you say, like, your one word is by chance? You know, for, like, doing writing or just, like, your personality, what would you think?
That's such a great thought, and now you've planted it in my head, and I'm going to be thinking about this for the next week. I'll probably change the words and every day. I don't know. That's a great question, you know. It's like if you ask my wife that, she might say something not very positive. But I mean, my daughter might, you know. But if you ask me, which you are, I would have to say, I think I love imagination. And for me, that's a lot of fun to have an imagination and to see things, imaginatively, I suppose.
Right. Some people don't have the capacity to think abstractly. You know, so you know. I had my word a long time ago.
That is true.
You wanna know my word?
Yeah.
Enigmatic.
Enigmatic. Well, that's good. I don't see you as enigmatic at all. But
that's
because
you know everything about me. Almost.
But actually I like it because it's a nice mantle that you're putting on in the winter, you know. Yes, I'm enigmatic, but really, I'm very pragmatic.
Being honest about who I am, you know.
I like that word. I think it does kind of fit you, you know.
Thank you. But I think perseverance is a better word. Perseverance is a good word.
Oh, man.
You know?
Oh, I wish I had that.
Yeah. Well, he does have perseverance.
We're coming to get your word, Peter. We're coming over right now. We're going
to take
the word.
Get the word, yes. Yes, we're going to take it. I want to be perseverance. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah,
Peter always gets the best words.
Whatever works, right, Pete?
Yeah, well, and really, like, and that wasn't, like, even my first word either. Like, when he first introduced this concept to me, it's just, you know, it kept on changing, you know, like one time it was art, you know, the other time it was like, you know, colorful or, you know, it's all these different things. And this is not like, you know, I'm not going to say it's not a hard process, but it's going to be something you definitely need to think about because it took me a while to kind of realize, you know, I have, if you hear my story, oh my God, I've been through a lot.
I can imagine.
And at the same time, you know, I thought, well, maybe triumph is a good word, you know, because of triumphing over challenges. But I thought, you know, that perseverance had kind of its own beauty to it because, I mean, at one moment, you know, you are going through life, but at the same time, you're triumphing over it as well. You know, and that kind of drove the abilities, my art, to the other things. And just, like, I'm almost certain that once you start to think of that one word and you thought of, like, imagination, I could definitely tell what was going through your mind at the moment, like, creativity, you know, artists, you know, stories, boundless, you know, opportunities. There's so many different things that can just be associated depending on the person and what their preferences is. It's interesting. And that's why, like, I've always been interested in writing. You know, I've wrote my own stories and, you know, I can definitely see the appeal why you would write, you know, so many for other people and then write your own. And,
it's a great gig, you know what I mean?
Yeah. You know, I think Tony can relate to those words that you just mentioned, you know, artists and creativity.
I think enigmatic, I use it only because I'm one of the very few artists, and, you know, I'm told, you know, I'm rare in that as an artist, I'm very entrepreneurial, and I tend to have a very keen business sense. You know, I feel a lot of it is genetic. My father was an artist, but my father was also a businessman of sorts, you know, and did think in terms of business. He might not have been as traditional as most people, you know, but I think that in itself, be an artist and also be able to put your work into a business form and actually make some money with your art. That in itself is enigmatic, especially to other artists.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree with that.
So that's really where it comes from, I think. But I know I am, because it's kind of like, I hate to say it. It's like some people are the exception to every rule. Most people are the rule that they're living. But then there are the people that are an exception to that rule.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's why I say enigmatic. I'm like a riddle.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, I can buy that.
Yeah.
So there.
But the thing is, it's not about me though. This is about Tad and the Marijuana Chronicles. The Marijuana Chronicles, and that means that is there a timeline in this? I hear the word chronicles, or is it just that we're going to be reading, our viewers are going to be reading volume one, and then they'll read volume two?
Yes, and then there'll be something else after that.
Of course,
actually,
there's always
another book on something else, but it will be a fictional book, which will be fun for me.
Oh, nice. Okay. I look forward to that. I look forward to it. Now, you're in Kindle form as well as paperback, hardcover.
Yes, Amazon and CreateSpace.
Yeah. And it's on Amazon.com, The Marijuana Chronicles by T. Brunton.
T. Brunton, right. Because the funny thing is, I researched the name of the book before I published it, and then no one had it. And of course, then as soon as I published the book, I typed in Marijuana Chronicles, my book comes up, and so does another Marijuana book, Chronicles book come up.
Darn.
So it was, anyway, but I like the name, and if people just put in T. period Brunton on CreateSpace or Amazon.com books, then my book will come up, and that's the better book.
Yeah.
I hope.
Perfect. Unfortunately, we are running low on time, I wanted to ask you, is that where can people find you? Like, do you have social media? Do you have, like, a website? How can people get a hold of you if they want to get a hold of you?
Yeah, I do not have a website at this time, but let me give you and the audience my email, and they can email me with any questions on ghostwriting or writing or anything. It's Tad, T-A-D. Brunton, B-R-U-N-T-O-N, @gmail.com.
Awesome. All right. And then, Tony, where can we find you at?
You can find me. I hang out on LinkedIn.com. And just, you know, put in Tony Quest. And I write quite a few articles on LinkedIn. I am on Facebook as well under Tony Quest. And I'm also on Twitter at TQTalker. Generally, I take an article, I write an article, if I write articles, and then what I do is I share them to Facebook. If you go to LinkedIn, you'll see my profile, and I'm working on a few projects and new business entity called the Energy Stoners and Jewelry, and because I'm using energy stones, and I've been working on some special events for this particular business, which you'll be hearing more about. So hit me up on LinkedIn. You can email me through there, and you can email me at Tony Quest TV, all one word, at gmail.com.
Wow, very nice.
Fantastic.
And Peter,
yeah.
What about you?
What about you,
yeah.
Peter?
Yeah, so you guys can find me on Twitter is my most prominent for following. It's Peter Elvidge, PeterElvidge is for Twitter. You can also find me on Facebook, LinkedIn, Google+, all those great different places. You'll find me. Just Google my name. You'll have some fun finding different networks I'm connected to. But you can also find Seeing Beneath the Surface, like I said, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, you know, all those great different places. We go on iHeartRadio, Stitcher, Google Play, all those great different places. You can find us at many different streaming platforms. But otherwise, I appreciate it, guys. Thank you so very, very much for being here.
Thank you, Peter.
Thank you for being here for episode 21 of Seeing Beneath the Surface. I appreciate you guys being here and chatting with me tonight. And have a nice one.
Thanks, Peter. And Tony, thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for being on the show, Tad. It's been a real treat.
It's been my pleasure, and thank you for inviting me.